You'd like to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 38. The book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 38, and reading from verse 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And our subject this morning is the physical effect of sin. The physical effect of sin, and if I could add a subtitle, the physical effect of sin and how to overcome it. And these things are presented to us in this chapter, or in these first five verses that we shall consider in detail this morning. Well, just very briefly, as always, to put these verses into context, we see here a man who is sick unto death. Hezekiah is his name. Hezekiah was the king of Judah. He reigned as the sole king of Judah from 715 to 686 BC. So we're talking roughly around 700 years before the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the Old Testament. Of course it is. But Hezekiah, he is a king of Judah, a good king, by the way. But we find him here in a rather unfortunate place, don't we? In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. He's not doing well. He's sick unto death. And Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him. He has a visitor on his deathbed, Isaiah the prophet. And what does the prophet say to him? Well, he says unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Well, instantly to us, that sounds like quite a harsh thing to say to someone on their deathbed. Is that what we would say to somebody? We go to visit someone in hospital. We know maybe they're terminally ill. Is this the type of language that we would use? Thou shalt die and not live? Well, it certainly seems harsh to us. But what can we say of Isaiah? Is this harsh? Well, it's certainly the truth. It's honest. The prophet Isaiah coming to him saying, Thou shalt die and not live. This is a true communication. And this is something that the Lord has told him to say. Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. When we're given, by the way, a message from God, whether it is the gospel, whether it is some doctrine that we see in the Bible, we always have to say it as it is, as God has given it to us. We don't compromise it to make people comfortable or happy. We say it as it is. And so Isaiah has been given a word from the Lord, Thus saith the Lord. And so he has to say to Hezekiah exactly what it is, Thou shalt die and shalt not live. That is the word of God to us. The word of God is always true. And well, we have to remember that. The word of God is always truth. We come into a church to hear the word of truth. It is my duty as a preacher to speak truth unto you. The truth of the word of God. We don't come into a church, and unfortunately churches have turned into this nowadays, to simply be entertained, to be comforted. We come into the church, some people think, and the preacher's going to say some nice, comfortable things to me, and I'm going to be uplifted and in high spirits for the rest of the day. That's not the point of coming to church, as if we're going to watch some sort of feel-good Hollywood movie. You go to the cinema, oh, it's all very funny, and we come out feeling very nice. No, we come into this place, not for fiction, but but for truth. And sometimes the truth hurts. Sometimes the truth is very difficult to digest. But that's the nature of the Christian message. That is the word of God. And well, so it may seem harsh to us, thou shalt die and not live. But this is the word of God, and we have to speak the truth. But well, he has to say this as well to Hezekiah, because Hezekiah has to do something before he dies. He says to him, thou shalt die and not live. So you have to do something. You have to set your house in order. You have to act urgently. You're going to die, Hezekiah. Set your house in order. It appears that Hezekiah did not have a son to succeed him, so he would have to make the necessary arrangements. Who's going to be king after he dies? So Hezekiah, you're not going to live, you're going to die, so you have to act urgently. And well, again, this is the nature of the Christian message. The reason we speak truth to you, the gospel of God's grace, the reason we speak to you about a judgment that is coming, is for you to act urgently. We speak the truth of the word of God, and you have to set yourself in order. Hezekiah has to set his house in order. We speak the truth of the word of God, so you have to set yourself in order. Are you right with God? This is the truth of the word of God. Thou shalt die and not live. Are you right with God? Thou shalt die and not live. Of course, that's true not just of Hezekiah, but of all of us. We shall all die and not live. Am I being too harsh? Well, no. This is the most basic fact of life. We shall all die and not live. We should understand this. Does anybody here think they're never going to die? They're going to live forever? Well, I'm sorry to burst your bubble, but you shall die and not live. It's the most fundamental thing about life. It's the surest thing about life. What a cruel tragedy that is. The surest thing about life is that we will die. There are many uncertain things in life. We can't be certain what will happen from one day to the next. We can't be certain of anything. But we can be certain that one day we will die. So this is very true. Thou shalt die and not live. These words are not just for Hezekiah. They are for us. And well, sadly, we don't know how long we have left until we die. Hezekiah here, he's not an old man. If we calculate it right, according to the account of the Bible, he's only about 37, 38. So he's not an old man here. He is on his deathbed before his time, sick unto death. He will die and not live. So that's another truth that we have to digest this morning. We will die, and we don't know when we will die. But of course, we don't like to talk about things like that. We like to ignore it, push death to the back of our minds. That's what this culture does, particularly. We live like we will never die. And even people sometimes who are ill. I remember speaking to a doctor, and he was a Christian man, a believer. And he said that he had a difficult time dealing with this woman who was terminally ill. And she would go and see him, and he would try and advise her. But he realized that this woman had not made any arrangements for after she died. She hadn't made a will. She hadn't put her house in order, if you like. And he would try and encourage her and encourage her. And he said to her flatly one day, he said, you have to realize, one day you are going to die. You have to make arrangements. And she looked at him quite sternly and said to him, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. And that is the foolishness of this culture particularly, and of people that we see. I'm not going anywhere. As if she is going to live forever. Can you imagine Hezekiah saying that to Isaiah? Isaiah comes up and says to him, thou shalt die and shall not live. This is the word of God. Hezekiah says, I'm not going anywhere. What foolishness that would be. So let none of us think that we're going to live forever. I'm sure none of us here do. But we have to think about our mortality. Like Hezekiah, we are all sick unto death. Yes, we are, even when we're perfectly healthy. You could go to the GP, they'll give you a clean bill of health, but we are all sick unto death. The GP won't diagnose this sickness, but the Bible, the Word of God, does. This is a sin sickness. This is how the Bible describes it. We are all sick with sin. That is our sickness. And, death is the physical effect of sin. The physical effect of sin. We all know and we all speak very much about the spiritual effects of sin. How sin warps the character, makes us lie, makes us steal, makes us jealous, makes us violent, lustful, pride. That's the spiritual effects of sin. But the physical effect of sin, yes, there is a physical effect. We all die. That is the great fundamental mark of sin on us, that we all die. And of course, that is the evidence that we are all sinners. We say that we are all sinners. And what is the great evidence? How do you know? Well, we all die. We all have the mark of sin upon us, the curse of sin upon us. Some people will try to say to you, oh, but there must be someone who's good and is right with God. I know people who are very good. Well, then you have to say to them, well, is that person not going to die? Is he going to live forever? Because if that person is going to die, he is a sinner. That's the sign, the great evidence that that person is a sinner. He will die. He has the curse of sin upon him. Sin, well, it's not what we do only. It's who we are, the physical effect of sin. And well, we can talk about this sickness. How did we get this sickness, this sin sickness? Well, in a way, we've caught it. We've brought it upon ourselves through our own disobedience. Yes, through our own rebellion. It's like, you can liken it to a child. The weather is getting a bit colder now, obviously. The autumn months, the winter months. And one thing I've noticed about children, they never like to wear coats. The parents will try to get them, put on your coat, it's cold outside. And they don't, they just run off. They think they'll be all right. And they spend hours out in the cold. And then they come back, they've caught a cold. They're ill. Well, they've disobeyed their parents. They've gone out into the cold and now they've caught this sickness. Well, it's like us with God. God has given us his commandment and we by nature, we don't want it. We rebel against God. We're not going to listen to you. We're going to go and do our own things, live the way we want. And so because of our disobedience, our rebellion, we have brought this sickness, this sin sickness upon ourselves. It's like catching a cold, but it's ever so much more serious than that. It will inevitably lead to death. We, by our rebellion against God, we have brought this sickness upon ourselves. And well, it's very simple when we look at it in that way to understand these things. So this is the message to us. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. This is for all of us, and it's very clear to understand it. Well, how are we to respond when we hear this message? Well, look how Hezekiah responded. Hezekiah, verse 2, he turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. He sought God. That was the first thing he did. Thou shalt die and not live. What shall I do? I must seek the Lord. He prayed unto the Lord. When it says he turned his face toward the wall, some believe that he turned his face toward the wall of the temple and desired even physically to be turning himself toward God. But spiritually, he is praying unto God also. And he must not just be thinking about his physical death. He must be thinking about his spiritual death too. There are two deaths, the Bible explains to us. There is the death of the body, but then there is the death of the soul, the second death. That's how it's explained to us in the scriptures. We die in the body, but then if we are not right with God, our souls will be eternally lost. The second death. And that is a terrible thing. That is surely what Hezekiah would have had in his mind. Only the Lord can save me. Only the Lord, of course. Who can save you from the eternal death? From the death of your soul? Only God. I must seek the Lord. No other man can do it. No person on this earth cares for your soul like God. I must seek the Lord. And then if we read in verse 3, it continues. He said, "Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart." Hezekiah walked before God in truth. Well, he embraced the truth of the Word of God. Do we embrace the truth of the Word of God? Have you truly lived according to the teaching of the Word and responded to the gospel in the right way? Do you live in truth? You say to yourself, "I know I am mortal. I know I will die one day. I'm not going to ignore it or deny it. I'm not going to say to myself, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to live in truth. I will die one day. And I'm going to live in truth and acknowledge myself as a sinner. I have rebelled against God. That's the truth. I'm going to embrace that truth. And I'm going to confess that I am not right with God. I'm not right with God. That's the truth. And I need forgiveness. I need salvation for my soul. That's the truth." We have to live in truth. Hezekiah walked before the Lord in truth. If we don't have that, we're on the wrong footing. Right from the outset, "I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight." He walked with a perfect heart. That means he walked with a heart that was fully devoted to God. He loved God, if we can put it that way. He loved God with all his heart, a perfect heart for God. Now, do you love God? Do you come into this place, this church, every week because you love God with a perfect heart? Your whole heart is fully devoted to God. Or are you somebody, well, sometimes you love God, but other times, maybe during the week when you're not at church, you don't really love God very much. You don't think about him very much. You do things that you know are sinful. You don't have a perfect heart. Maybe just one day out of seven on a Sunday. But the rest of the time, your heart is wayward. It's lost. Well, that is a terrible thing. And maybe it's because you don't truly know what the Lord has done for you. You know, you cannot truly love God with a perfect heart unless you know the forgiveness of God. The forgiveness of God, that your sins are forgiven. If you follow God just simply because of something he's done in your life, "Oh, he helped me on my exams, he helped me do this and this." Well, yes, you might like God. You might have some affection, but you won't love him with a perfect heart. If you understand what God has done that has led to the forgiveness of your sin, God has sent his Son to come and to suffer and to die for my sin on the cross, even when I was a sinner. And I think of all my sins and all the terrible things I've done. But God sent Christ to suffer and to die, suffer the eternal punishment for my sin. And I am forgiven because of that. Well, then you'll love him with a perfect heart. You'll give your whole heart. It's not just he helped me with my exams and this and that. No, Christ died for me. Then you'll love him with a perfect heart. You can't love him with a perfect heart unless you know that forgiveness of sin. You cannot have one without the other. But Hezekiah, he trusted in God for the forgiveness of his sin. He says later, and we won't look at this, that God has cast all his sins behind his back. He knows that God has forgiven all his sin. That's why he loves him with a perfect heart. And he has done that which is good in thy sight. He puts all his trust in Christ. You want to do something good? You want to do something that will reconcile you to God? What can I do? Put all your faith and trust in Christ. That is what is good and pleasing in the sight of God. Nothing else. You put all your trust in him. I am saved because of him and him alone. Well, you see how wonderful these words are. And then at the end of verse 3, Hezekiah wept sore. But then verse 4, Isaiah has another word from the Lord to give to him. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. Well, this is almost a checklist of how we ought to be saved. Has God heard your prayer? Your prayer that you need salvation, you need forgiveness of sin through Christ? Has he heard it? Has God seen your tears? It's not just a prayer that is lightly said, like some people do. They just make a light profession of faith. Has God seen your tears? Your tears of repentance. You think about all your sin. You think to yourself, Christ had to die for that sin. You mourn over that. Has God seen your tears of repentance? There has to be both. The prayer of faith, the tears of repentance. Both things. I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. God is going to add to Hezekiah's life 15 years. And you know, when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, when we trust in him fully, God extends our life, not just for 15 years, but forever. We have eternal life, everlasting life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not just for 15 years. Well, this reminds me, last month we had a sad but joyous occasion in this church. We had the funeral of our dear sister, Madge Shaw, and her family are with us this morning. And well, she was diagnosed with cancer at the beginning of this year, and she was unwell. And in February, I believe, in February or maybe early March, she went into a hospice down in Sydenham. And we thought, well, maybe secretly within ourselves, we thought, well, that's it. She won't be able to come out from there. We won't see her again. But you know, the Lord extended her life. The Lord extended her life. She came out of the hospice. She was able to go home. She was able to spend time with her children and her grandchildren. She was able to see her brother and her sister from overseas. There was time for them to come and visit her and spend that last time with her. There was time for her to come and to meet with us in this place once again, to worship the Lord and to meet with her brothers and sisters in Christ. But you know, even though she had that extension to her life, the greatest thing was seeing that peace in her, that assurance in her, that actually God had extended her life forever. Because she had faith in Christ, God had extended her life forever. Her soul would forever be with the Lord, because she knew that Christ had died for her sins. And well, may that faith be the faith that we all know in this place, the faith that saves us, the faith of Hezekiah, the faith of every born-again Christian. Well, if you don't know the Lord, you must come to him. Your life will end one day. Thou shalt die and not live. But if you trust in Christ, if you put all your faith in him, confess your sin, know that he died for you, well then the message will be no longer, thou shalt die and not live. It shall be, thou shalt live and not die. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our God, our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank and praise Thee for these words before us. And Lord, we ask that Thou bless these words to each and every one of us, to the glory of Thy holy name, and that souls be saved in this place. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.